Okay, we are at the 7:30 mark, so a little bit different tonight. Alan, who is our new meeting coordinator, he is going to take the lead on monthly meetings now. So I'll leave it to Alan to take it from here. If Alan is there.
Okay, Chris. Sorry, Chris. I shut down something I shouldn't have done here.
Oh no. Well, while Alan is sorting that out, let me do the welcome to all. And so if there are new people with us tonight, glad to have you join us. As always, we welcome guests as well as members at the OPC-UG meetings. Whether it's the regular meeting night on the second Wednesday of the month or Q&As, which are on the other Wednesday evenings. So we welcome guests at any time. You can come to any number free of charge if you so desire. If you do want to join the group, by all means, come to our website and click on the renew or join link at the top of the page, and it'll take you through where you can join up. You can pay by PayPal, either using a PayPal account or a credit card, or you can use a snail mail if you want to send us a check, or you can do it through an Interact funds transfer. And if you have any problem at all, let one of us on the board know, and we'll be happy to help you out with that. And I think that Alan has got his problem sorted out. So I'll
I
turn
have
it over to
indeed,
Alan.
yes. Sorry about that. Okay, so welcome everybody to the March OPCUG meeting. And as you probably know, we're going to focus on smartphone, and a whole bunch of people have offered to talk about their app that they consider to be essential for their use of their smartphones and tablets. So we'll get to that in just a minute, but as Chris was saying, the board met in after the AGM in February, and a few of the positions got switched around, and I am now your meeting coordinator. So you can never have a presentation without some adverts. So here's the advert where I'm suggesting that I need suggestions. So if you have things that you think would be of interest for monthly meetings, and that would include anything that's related to computers and computer applications, anything to do with operating systems that we use, even neat computer hardware. If you can think of topics along those lines that you'd like to hear more about, by all means, just send me an email, alan.german@opcug.ca. You'll find me, and I'll be happy to take your suggestions into consideration. Okay, so that's the public service announcement. Let's get on to the main event. So we've got a whole raft of people who are offering these different
Oh,
presentations.
Alan, if I can just interrupt for a second, I was reminded by Timothy that I have not muted all. So I'm going to mute all now. And unlike the normal meetings, we're going to have it that participants can't unmute themselves. So you can either put questions or comments into the chat and I'll relay them on, or we can wait until after the presentations and we'll open it up for audio at that point in time. So now everybody's muted. So Alan, you'll have to unmute yourself and away you go. Thanks.
Okay, all right, thank you. So as I was saying, we have a number of people going to present things, and we're going to start off with Bob Harris. And Bob, you have slide control, so you should be able to start off and change the slides at your end. So you'll have to unmute yourself.
Oh, hang on, sorry. I didn't make you a
Ah.
co-host. Just a second. Make co-host. Okay, now you should be able to.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Alan. Very good. We're all set. Is this the first slide?
You need to go to your first slide, right?
Okay, here we go. Thank you, folks. There we go. There isn't a single person alive who hasn't looked up at a plane in the sky and wondered, where is it going? Where did it come from? These questions usually go unanswered. But what if all that changed? use of this. What if you could get instant answers and not just guesses? Imagine knowing the aircraft type and destination of any plane in the sky. Get ready. After today, you will see the sky in a way you never have before. Shazam is an app that instantly identifies any song. Now imagine doing that for airplanes. You look up at the sky, you tap your phone, and instantly you have all the flight details. You know where it's going, where it came from. That's what Flight Radar 24 does. Let's check it out. Flight Radar 24 tracks over 200,000 flights daily. That's a lot of metal in the sky. And Flight Radar 24 gives you a live view of what's happening above. So how does it work? Aircraft use GPS for navigation. Transponders broadcast their location. Receivers on the ground will capture these signals. All this data is transmitted to the Flight Radar 24 servers. Then, all that information is displayed right on your cell phone. Now, the coolest feature of this app is AR mode. That's augmented reality. To activate the AR mode on your cell phone app, you press the AR button on the top left. You can see it in a red circle. Then, you point your cell phone's camera up in the sky at any plane. Once you're in AR mode, it's very easy. This is a view of the sky over my backyard. My camera screen shows aircraft icons. I've tapped on a few already, but you tap on any icon. You'll see the aircraft type, altitude, speed, origin, destination, and much more than that. It's like being an air traffic controller, but without the responsibility. This plane was flying over Stittsville. It looked to be very large and quite fast, so I checked it out. I learned it was flying from Toronto to Amsterdam. It was a Boeing 787 Dreamliner. It was flying at 41,000 feet. It was flying at 600 miles per hour or 532 knots. I also learned, see on the top there, it had left Toronto 25 minutes late. It was supposed to leave at 10 to 9. It left at 9:15 p.m. So it was flying a little faster today to make up some lost time. You can get all this data for any plane in the sky that you can see. You can change your radius on the augmented screen to go wider and farther than the planes you can see. You see planes all over the place. The whole works. And the best part is, it's all free. You can download this at your favorite app store. And lastly, while you really, really, really have to try the cell phone app, I have a bonus tip for you. If you're sitting at home, working on your computer, and you hear a plane in the sky, go to the Flight Radar 24 website. Open the map up. You don't even need to sign in. You press on a button. You can track that plane. This plane was coming in from Calgary, flying into Ottawa. Flew over my house, and I heard it. Anyway. It's very cool. The website is great. The cell phone is amazingly powerful. You hold your cell phone up. It's powerful. Flight Radar 24. It'll change the way you see the sky. Thank you.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much, Bob. And so what were all those planes?
Those are fighter jets. They're not. Don't get involved in that. I didn't search those.
I take it you don't get information on military aircraft.
There's a few. Actually, I looked yesterday on the U.S. Seaboard. they had military planes flying out over the ocean, and you could track those and have their information on them. The plane type, the whole works.
Amazing. Okay, thank you very much for that. So
thank
moving
you.
Along, Linda is going to talk to us about Duolingo, and you'll notice on the slide here that it's going to be interesting because she's going to give her presentation in Klingon. And you're going to share your screen and run your own program, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So can you see that?
No.
No?
I see it.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Okay, good. All right, let's start. So, yes, I've been using Duolingo for many years now, and it's a great little app on your phone. You can use it on any device, but I use it on my phone, and it's to help me learn French. And the way they advertise it is with quick bite-sized lessons, you'll earn points and unlock new levels while gaining real-world communication skills. So it actually covers 43 different languages, including Klingon, High Valyrian, and Esperanto. So if you want to brush up on your Klingon, it won't be me. So why learn another language, especially at my advanced age? So it wards off dementia. It's one of those things they say is very good for dementia, as well as, you know, learning to play a musical instrument, learning to dance, that kind of thing. So, and puzzles, may as well add it to the list. And I started to seriously undertake it when I retired because being living in the East End, I wanted to do volunteer work, and I thought there'd be many situations where I might need to have a little bit ability to converse in French, but I didn't need high level of perfect grammar as I would have had to in the workplace. It's great for travel. The thing I like about French is it works all over Europe, not because there's all these countries that speak French in Europe as their main language, but every country in Europe, it seems, people take high school French. So they're talking at my level, which is perfect. So there's no way I'm going to understand them in Italian, and they're not going to understand the few words I might have in Italian. So you switch into French, and you meet that common ground. So I find it very handy for Europe. And it's a good time killer while I'm waiting in the doctor's office or in a bank line or a grocery line, whatever. I can do a lesson in usually under 2 minutes or around 2 minutes. So, you know, you don't have to sort of think, oh, well, I don't have 20 minutes to wait. No, they're 2-3 minutes each lesson. And you get a feeling of accomplishment with a relatively small effort. And that was one of the things I wanted to make sure when I took it on, that it was going to be fun. I was not going to make this as a job. So I never did more than, say, at most 15 to 20 minutes a day. So, no, I'm not perfectly bilingual, even though I've been doing it for years, because I wanted it to be fun. And to me, it's as fun as my word game. So I do Sudokus and I do crossword puzzles, but this is just another game that I play. And that makes it, gives me a little more feeling of accomplishment. So what are some of the pluses of the Duolingo app itself? Well, it's free, which I like. Choice of many languages. It's comprehensive and it's relevant. So most of the situations are related to work or business or store. You're in a store purchasing things. So they're quite relevant. There was one that you had to translate, stop hitting your brother with a hammer, which wasn't too relevant, but for the most part, they are things that you would run into in your day-to-day life. And you set your own pace, which I like. And bite-sized lessons. So again, it's 1 or 2 minutes to get through a lesson and you feel you've accomplished something. Tailored absolutely to your skill level. So when you first start, they can bump you up quite a few levels if you already know quite a bit of French or any language. It's inclusive. You can challenge your friends and things like that. You can do it in silent mode. So obviously, if I'm sitting in the doctor's office, I'm not going to want to have it loud and speaking into it, etc. So I just put it in silent mode and do the exercises that way. And they give you email reminders. They didn't used to do this. If you wanted to continue your record of X number of days in a row, you had to remember to do it. Now they'll remind you and say, oh, you haven't done your Duolingo yet today. So that's kind of nice for keeping up your record. And then they offer occasional days of unlimited hearts. So you usually get about 5 hearts a day. And then once you burn through them, you have various options to purchase by cash if you want, or purchase with points you've earned. But occasionally there are days where it's unlimited hearts, and those are fun. And they're trying to, of course, encourage you to buy the purchased variety where you have unlimited hearts. You can suit your own schedule. I tend to do it first thing in the morning. I'll tell you why in a minute. And you can do it on any device. And if you do, so you have to be online to kickstart it. But then if you're in a situation where you want to go offline, once you've done that first one lesson online, you can switch it to offline mode. You're not going to see your points and that go up till you sign on the next time, but you can actually do the lessons. And it's fun. So what are some of the downsides? Well, the ads can be irritating. So my tricks for the ads, they're not usually very long, but my tricks are, if I do it early in the morning, and especially on the weekend, Sunday or Saturday morning, the advertisers don't want to spend a pile of money if they think nobody's really on the app at that early, like if it's 6 or 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning when I'm having breakfast. A lot of people aren't awake yet. So the ads are really short because they're not going to pay for a 30-second ad. So that's one of my tricks. The other trick I have is if I find a short ad I like, I don't mind the product and it's nice and short. I go and Google it or do a couple of searches and put something like that in a basket or a cart. And then all of a sudden that ad keeps popping up because they know you're interested. And if it's nice and short, that's great. So I tailor my ads as best I can. You do need an internet connection, as I say, to at least get started. And some languages don't have highly advanced units. The French I've been doing for years and years now, and it's quite comprehensive, and I've still got lots of lessons to go. But my sister started learning Ukrainian, and she topped out pretty quickly. So they didn't have super advanced levels in Ukrainian. Now, the French is European based, which can be frustrating. I've used words in Quebec and with Franco-Ontarians, and then they look like I'm from another planet, but that's just the way it is. And probably the Spanish is European-based too. I don't know how well it would apply to, you know, South America or Mexico, but I imagine it's European-based as well. Spanish is another good language for travel, like French. It's so common, so many places in the world. And you can't conduct a free conversation. So when I started doing Duolingo, I also got myself an online tutor so I could actually speak French back to them and have a conversation. You can now do this in the paid version, but when I first started, that was not available. And, of course, that's a critical part of learning the language is you actually forming sentences and hearing sentences back. So they do make multiple ways, and it gets harder and harder to stay on the free version. They make it trickier for you to stay on the free version. It's not so much they're changing the rules, but as you advance in your knowledge of the software, it becomes harder to hang on to those hearts because it's harder to do a perfect lesson and not make a mistake when you get into the advanced tenses and vocabulary. And so then you lose your hearts, and that's what they want. They want you to have to then pay. So you have to be careful. So if you do pay, the pro version is $7 a month for a 12-month subscription, $70 U.S., or $13 U.S. on a month-to-month basis, or $122 U.S. for a family plan with up to 6 users. So it's not super expensive. Okay, so here's a typical screenshot, sort of your home page. That's where I'm partway through a lesson. You can see now at the top that says 718 days that I've had in a row, and you'll do the math, and that's not 5 years. But what happened was there was a glitch, and they had to reset my count. So I do actually have 5 years without missing a day, and that includes travel abroad when I've been able to hook up to free Wi-Fi and that. And then these are, this is the language I'm learning. I'm at 99. It doesn't mean when I hit 100 I'm bilingual. It just means at this particular moment I was 99 out of that section of 100. So I was almost done that big section. And then these are the number of jewels I had, and I can use these jewels to buy hearts. And I started out with 5 hearts that morning, but they don't last long because you lose one for every mistake you make. And when you're practicing for 15 minutes, believe me, you can make a lot of mistakes. At least I can. So these are the kinds of units. And then you can look at various things at the bottom with your various accomplishments, the friends you have, etc. Okay, so here's one on the left where you would click on the audio button there. It would give the word in French, and you would match it up to whatever you thought that word translated to in English. And then over here, the same thing. You click on the audio, and it will say the phrase, and you then tap here, and you repeat that phrase back. If it just sounds like a garbled mess and you don't think you're going to be able to repeat anything back that makes too much sense, you can click on reveal, and it will show you the words, and then you can just read it back. Now, they don't do this at the very low level, it's fairly advanced, before they, you know, give you that option just to listen to it. And then you can click on, I can't listen now. Like, as they say, if you're in the grocery store or something, you don't want to have that noise, you just click on can't listen, and they'll give you a different type of exercise to do that will cover the same vocabulary. Same thing here, I can't speak right now. They'll let you go into silent mode. So here's another example. So there's a French phrase, and you just fill in the blank by clicking on one of the choices. And then here, it's the same thing. You can just fill in what you think is the right answer. Now, this guy was, we actually had a speaker in our photo club, the Orleans Photo Club, came to talk to us about his photography, and it turned out he actually designed Junior here. So he got a job designing one of these characters in Duolingo. So there's various characters that you get to know, and they have certain personalities, and they try and make it funny. So I usually get a chuckle every morning. Okay, and then here's one where it'll say the sentence in English, and you pick out the words you think form that sentence in French, and there'll be extra words that you decide to not use, and then you click on check, and you find out whether you got it right. And then here, you just have to come up with these words. The steering wheel is so small, so I had to type what I thought was the right answer. And it liked it. And then when it gives you that, you just have to say it, so you can say it, and then it will tell you the actual meaning. So even if you say it perfectly, you might not know what it means, so it's nice that they give you the English translation. Now, this is fairly recent. They've done, it's almost like podcasts. So you can call Lucy up and ask her for advice on anything. You can call Junior up and he talks about, you know, the complications of understanding the adult world, etc. So basically, you can't do this one in silent mode because it just involves Lucy talking to someone on the phone and giving them advice. But there are questions to you as you go through this little short podcast. And they're like a couple of minutes long. And you don't have the option to go silent, but you can skip it and do it later. And then this one, they have kind of whole little stories, and they're usually pretty funny. So here's one, and you can put it in a mode where you don't see the words and just have the sound, and then you can click to see the words. But this one, I've got it on the words. So it'll start, this is just the first few sentences, and then it goes on and does a whole story and then checks vocabulary at the end. And then this one, so you can listen to it, and then you type what you hear. And if it's too fast, you can play this any number of times. But you can also hit on this little turtle, and it will say it much more slowly. So that's very handy in case you haven't caught all the words. And then here, I listen to it, and I type this, but I got it wrong. So then it will correct you and say, no, you got that tense wrong. And you can click on explain my mistake, and it will take you to some grammar explanations. And then it tells you, you know, you got a perfect lesson, you're amazing, blah, blah, blah. It took me 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes to do that particular lesson, so it was a fairly tricky one. So, or maybe I took the time to make sure I got 100%. And then you claim your XP, which is your jewels, and then you use your jewels, as I say, to buy points. It's about 400 jewels to buy 5 points, so you can see you go through them pretty fast. You can get 15 more gems by watching an ad. It doesn't always pop up. You don't always have that option, but anytime I get that option, I take it because then I can build up enough jewels to buy more parts. And then sometimes, it used to come up a lot more often, but sometimes you can actually earn a heart by watching an ad, and that helps you. If you're down to your last couple of hearts, that gives you 3 hearts. You can probably get through another lesson without running out. And you can open another chest. There's various things. Anytime it allows me to do something, even if it's a 30-second ad, I just start it, go take my dishes into the kitchen or whatever, or do something for 30 seconds and then come back and pick it up again. And then this gives you, every day there's daily quests. Now, they're not always the same. So on this day, if you completed 4 lessons, you got extra points. If you got 80% or more in 5 lessons, you got extra points. Sometimes you have to get 4 perfect lessons, so I might not get those points. So every day they have different quests. And that's it.
Okay, thanks, Linda. John makes a point here. He says that XP points on a PC are lower than on the mobile phone, as they prefer phone users.
Oh, I did not know that. Interesting.
And Stuart's recommending that you go to Paris. Because
good
he says,
recommendation.
Yeah, he says regional dialects abound in all languages. New Brunswick French can be incomprehensible to somebody from Gatineau.
This is true. And my first mentor that I did online, my online mentors or tutors, the lady was from Moncton, so I really appreciated that. My second one was from Drummondville, so I appreciated that. And most of the people I speak to are either Gatineau or Franco Ontario, so I have a really great mix.
And Tom Trottier has posted in the chat, thank you, Linda, in Klingon. I'll let you check that out.
I'll have to cut and paste that one.
Natalie wants to know, what do the hearts represent in Duolingo? Are they used for anything concrete or just motivation to keep using the app?
They allow you to keep doing lessons. So if you start a little lesson, I think the lessons are about 10 or 11 questions, and you start with 5 hearts and you make 5 mistakes, that's it, you're done. So I don't want to stop after one lesson. So you really try hard not to use up those hearts, because once you're done, you either have to buy them with those gems, which go through pretty fast because they're 400 or so to get 5 more hearts. You can sometimes earn a heart. Or you go to the paid version. So hanging on to those hearts is important. Don't waste them. Be very careful, because once they're gone, for me on the day, once they're gone, they're gone. And it usually takes me about 15 minutes to blow through 5 hearts, and then I'm done. I wait for the next day. Charles laughing.
We have another comment from John F. On Android, you can swipe the ad screen up to speed up the game.
Speed up.
It says that on Android, can swipe ad screen up to speed up game.
Yeah, I hear what
game.
You're saying. I don't understand what it means.
John, if you want to chime in again to explain that.
Can he unmute himself?
No, he can't unmute himself, but I could.
That's okay. I guess it just means that I'm just not sure exactly what that means.
Okay, what I can do is...
Okay,
to delete an ad.
You swipe up. Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Okay. But does it let you earn the points that you were going to earn? Probably not. So, yeah, you can stop an ad, but I want to earn the points.
True.
I need the points.
You want everything, Linda.
Yeah, I want it all. I want at least play for 15
minutes. I think you've convinced quite a few people here. They'll like your presentation.
Okay,
give it a try. So,
all right.
The next Q&A will be in French, people. Merci bien, Linda. Okay, moving along then. If I can, let's see. Sure. Yeah, moving along. We're going to have a presentation on our groceries, an app about grocery shopping, and Harvey is going to share his screen and.
All right, I'm going to try and share it. Hold on. My goodness. Let's see if it's going to work for me.
Looking good.
Getting there. Uh-oh. Hang on. That blew it. Alrighty, here we go. So, I'll just tap on the icon for our groceries here. Can you all see that now?
Yes, we can.
All right. my son and I use this together, and it's the greatest thing, you know, if you have to plan out what items to get over the week or whatever days, it certainly is much better than hanging the rope on the refrigerator with a pen and a piece of paper. And we've been using this now for about 3 years, going on 4 years. It works on Android and iPhone or iPads. There's also a web page that you can sign in and utilize the same thing. But it's the easiest way to manage your shopping. You can share lists, as I say, with my son. I share it with him. He puts items on, I put items on. And so if you're into recipes, you can also maybe add those items too. Now, as you see at the top, this particular has ads. Now, similar to what Linda was explaining, there's also fees that you can pay to remove ads. So the lifetime fee is like $12.50. Or you can go yearly for $8 or monthly $1.30. we just use whatever's there. Anyway, there's two main items there. One called our shopping list, and the other one below is the recipes. Now, if we go into the shopping list, hang on. Or there we go. If we go, sound of the gun. Hold on. I hit a button I shouldn't have. There we go. All right, if we go into the shopping list, at the very top where it says extra virgin oil, that's an item that was added to the shopping list. Under the crossed off items, those are the items that were previously on a shopping list. You bought them, and once you tap on them, they go down into the crossed off list. So if I wanted to, let's say, add in, let's have a look here. What's my favorite? Well, there's one of them. If I tap on Molson Canadian, it takes it off that list of crossed off and brings it up into your shopping list. So that's basically how it works. And you can add in little notes like Costco or whatever. If I wanted to add in premium crackers, I just tap that and up it goes. So when we're out and about at the grocery store, we know what the heck we're going to get. And as we put them in our cart, so if I picked up the premium crackers and put them into my cart, I then go to my list. I can tap on that, and that removes it. It puts it back down into the crossed off list. So that's how that typically works, which is pretty straightforward. I mean, there's also other things such as, you know, Coors Light. I mean, we can have a look at that too. if you wish, if you can't see it very well, you can tap on that picture or the eye for info, and it'll bring up all the information it knows about that item. So there you go. You can add your items. You can remove your items, that type of thing. All righty. Now, I just added user guide in there just for information. The user guide, if I can find it here, hold on. Oh, dear. Down at the very bottom of the screen, there's a square with a little pin in it. If you tap on that, it'll give you the link. And you can go in there and you can look up and see what you have to know about this app. You can go through it at your leisure. It's also available at other things here. 1 minute. If I can just get back here. If you go into the settings at the top right, you can also, I believe, see something in there but a user guide, but you'd have to search through and have a look. But it's well documented, extremely well documented, and everything you know is there. Now, when you get to recipes, I just put one in there. It's my salsa meatloaf. And if I tap on that, again, at the bottom, where you see the little square with a pin, if I tap on that, it will show me that recipe. And of course, there's many different items there. And, you know, you could work your way through that and add those items onto your grocery list. Now, I have never used what I call, I think, the automated way of doing that. However, you can use that in the list here and add them onto your particular grocery list. At the very bottom, there's a link. And this shows the actual recipe. This goes back to 2006. That's how old it is. But it's an extremely tasty recipe. So if you're ever in the market for that, that will work for you well. As I say, it's a very easy to use app. There's not too much to learn about it. I mean, you know, the only thing that I have not learned is if there was a way of automatically adding the items from my recipe. I've not gone into that far. But that's pretty much simple. That's pretty much it for the day. As I say, you can remove the ads, and it'll give you the breakdown of the charges, that type of thing. Yeah. So I think this is almost better than having to pay for your groceries sometimes. Makes it nice and easy for you. So I think that's about it for tonight. If you have to go in and learn more about it, I would say Google it and look at their user guide. It's very, very well documented.
And Natalie's asking if you can scan a barcode with a cell camera to add items to your list.
Not that I'm aware of. I don't see any scanning activity. Nothing in here anyway. No. That would be a great thing to have, wouldn't it? That ability to scan.
And Jeff's saying that he's been using this app for several years, and when he bought it, the lifetime fee was $6, and he thought it was really well worth it.
Yeah, I was reading Jeff's review of that, very concise, and he certainly enjoys using this app. It really helps with everything. Yeah, it keeps it simple. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
All righty, let me just get out of here. There we go.
Okay. So next up, we have Gas Buddy, and Carol is going to share her screen and tell us all about this app. Yeah, that's good, Carol.
I just want to mention that I had mentioned earlier, after I saw Bob's planes, there's a lecture at the Museum of the Canadian Aviation Museum on aerial firefighting in Canada on rotary wings, and it's actually for March 20th, not tomorrow night. So the link is way up in the chat if anybody's interested. It's on Zoom. So anyway, that aside, Gas Buddy is the app that I've been using actually for quite a few years. And it's a free app. It provides gas prices pretty current around you or even far away. You can determine the location by looking at the app. I had never really, I don't think, signed into the PC site. So I did log in there, and I see they have trip planner blogs, and there's a podcast about all things gasoline. Yeah, in case you're really interested in gasoline. But there's the link for the Gas Buddy app. So this is how the app looks when I pull it up on my home, on my iPhone. And obviously the key is to click on the find gasoline click. So when you click on the find gas, it brings you to this page. This is a list of the gas stations, that are close. These are the gas stations that were close to me when I clicked on it. And then if you, want to look at, gas stations that are in a different location than where you are currently, you can click on the map and search for other places. But you can search. This works in Canada and the USA. I haven't tried it in any other countries, but it works in both countries. So I'm going to show you a close-up of that. So when you find the gas, see here it shows you the name of the gasoline station, the address. It shows you how far you are from it, the price per liter. So this app is, the information is provided by users. So this user, Buddy64, updated that price 39 minutes ago. So you know 39 minutes ago it was $1.49 a liter. And then here's Stinson on Bank Street, and there's the price that was upgraded or uploaded 3 hours ago. So you'll find sometimes, because it is user, you'll find some of the information is probably more than 12 or 14 hours old. So it's not always the most current, but that's but it gives you an idea. So these are filters you can choose on Gas Buddy. If you're looking for different grades of gas, you can choose that. You can choose different ways to pay. I don't know what pay with Gas Buddy is, but I always just keep it on cash or credit. So as I said, there's the list. When I clicked on Find Gas, this came up in my locale. But if you choose, if you go to map, then you can click on, you'll see the map, and it'll show you the gas stations that are also near me. Now, if I were traveling on a highway or an interstate or something, you can look far ahead. You can look to the next exit. You can look all over. It will pull up the gas stations all along your route. So it's very handy when traveling, especially if you're getting close to low on gas. So if you make an account and you become a user, and so that's how you get these names of people who submit the prices. And so when you're at the gas station, you can report the price. And so you go to report prices. You go, you choose your selection of gas, and you type in the numbers. You confirm if it's correct, or you type in the new numbers. And then when you go back to the main page, the time will be updated that you had just confirmed that as current. And that's it. I've been using Gas Buddy since 2008. As I said, I've used it on long trips. You can look at the map and see gas stations all along your route, and it's very helpful. Anyway. That's it.
Okay, thanks, Carol. France notes that she says that it also allows you to enter a fuel log for your vehicle. So she enters data as soon as she puts in the gas, then she gets the number of liters per kilometer since the last time she added gas.
Well, okay, I've never done that.
And Tom wants to know if it handles recharging stations for electric vehicles, I guess.
I'll look.
And Jose says if you go to Spain, there's a similar app called gasallapp.com. And Stuart says, I found that turning off location access saves me a ton of data. So if you still use the app, he saved the number of stations in favorites and only turns location on if he's away from home and he needs gas. And Natalie wants to know if you have to log in to report a price.
No. Well, I guess I'm always logged in, so I guess you do.
Okay, well, that's great. Thank you very much for that one.
Okay.
And next up, what do we have next up? Let me look here. Okay, so next up we have, Too Good To Go. So this is Debbie, so I'm going to give Debbie slide control. And where's Debbie there? So Debbie, you should now be in control of my PowerPoint on my computer, so you should be able to change the slides from your end.
I'll take that audio. There. Sorry about that, guys. Forgot to put my audio on. Okay. Hi. I'm Debbie. And although Bob and I really enjoy eating, but we do not enjoy the high price of grocery bills. I use Flip for deals and price matching, and I'm always on the lookout for ways to save money on groceries while eating well. Slide control. How do we get there?
Like that.
Okay, got it. So I recently discovered Too Good To Go. There we go. And I thought I would give it a try. Like, what's the worst that could happen? Welcome, everyone, to my presentation using the Too Good To Go app. Today, I'll be sharing my personal experiences using this app to reduce food waste and to save money on groceries. Too Good To Go is a platform that was designed to reduce food waste and save money by connecting consumers with local businesses that do have surplus food. Was founded in Denmark in 2015 and launched in Ottawa of June of 2021. Guess I'm a little slow getting onto that train. It has partnered with a variety of restaurants and grocers across Ottawa, including Metro, Tim Hortons, Shawarma King, Maverick, Circle K, and many, many more. Now, these partnerships allow you to purchase surplus food at reduced prices and help combat food waste while making high-quality food more affordable. Now, setting up is pretty straightforward. Go ahead, download the app, and create your account. You do have to pick your area. You use the map to select. I recommend setting a reasonable pickup area radius. It's not cost-effective if you have to drive across the city to do your pickups. And once you have your area established, you will see a list of retailers that have offerings within that area. You get to choose a surprise bag. Could be something new. Could be something familiar. But pay attention to the pickup times. They're always stated. Now, it could be for the same day, or it might be for the next day as well. Now that I've set up my app and browsed offers in my areas, I decided to purchase a meat order from my local Metro store. Meat packages from Metro come frozen. They freeze them the day before any best before dates, and so they're usually pretty fresh. In the details under that meat graphic, you will notice there's a 4.4 rating. That is the rating for that particular store, and it's out of 5. And while I was going to be picking up a surprise meat order, I thought, why not try the fruit and salad? Now, this bag could contain an assortment of surplus cut fresh fruit and or salad. You could also receive other items such as assorted vegetable proteins and or juice beverages, you know, just about the same stuff they sell in that area of the store. And after you reserve your choice, you get a "You Are a Hero" screen. They like you to feel good for ordering and saving food from the landfill. New little feature is now you can invite your friends to do the pickup. That wasn't there before, but certainly now it's something you do have to arrange ahead of time. Okay. And of course, once you do your reservation, they do want payment, so you pick whatever payment method you like and fill in the details. Confirmation of your order. And if you want to see what the details are of what you just ordered, click on that green bar at the bottom. In addition to being able to see it there, you will receive an email with confirmation complete with your pickup times. Now, unfortunately, shortly after placing the order for the fruit and salad, it sent me an email saying that it was unavailable. So, but the meat order was still on. Okay, I got it. Here it is. Okay. Sorry, guys, got my papers a little mixed up, but we'll work harder on this. So the meat order was still on. The pickup was easy peasy. And I went to customer service with my phone in hand. You do need to show them the order, and off they went to get my goods. It was packaged in a plain paper bag. When was the last time you took delivery in a plain brown wrapper? So I slunk out of the store with my goods in hand and drove straight home. And without waiting for darkness, I opened it up. I received 8 kebabs and 3 bavette steaks. I had no idea what a bavette steak was, so upon further investigation, I found out they're also known as flank steak or flap steak. Looks like we'll be having fajitas in the future. So, anyway, just for fun, I looked at the Metro website, and those 8 kebabs that are sitting there normally sell for $16 for the 8-pack. So it looks like it might have been a pretty good deal. They had valued that surprise bag at $39. The cost was $19.49, and I had a savings of $19.51. Now, with each item that I do show you that I've gone out and purchased, I'm going to be putting the value, the cost, and the savings down in the corner, and you can read that part yourself from now on. Okay? So, with my assorted meat purchase deemed to be a success, thought I'd try it again. And off I went. This time, I took a chance and went to the Daily Dough Delight. It was a new business to the Too Good To Go family and had not yet established a star rating. Went through the ordering steps. It gets easier every time. Ah, looks like a good mystery box there, doesn't it? And as you can see, I received some sweet items as well as a savory bread. That bread we heated up in our air fryer and was large enough to be a lunch item. And those cookies were some of the biggest I'd ever had. And if I hadn't shared those with a friend, the treats could have been frozen at home and eaten over time. Now, you remember the fruit and salad offer that got canceled? I thought I would try again. Notice it has a star rating of 4.3. I personally never go below a 4-star rating if I can help it. Once again, in the brown paper bag. So, although I was really hoping to have an assortment of fruit, The salad we received was quite fresh and paired well with the chicken we were having for supper. The pumpernickel bread and the dip was way too much for us, so I packaged up the bread and put it in the freezer. I can put some out a little at a time and eat it. And the dip, it's good till May. Next off, good stop at Tim Hortons. Now, this is what I received for my $4.99. While the donuts were on the plain side, they were still quite fresh. There were 4 muffins and 5 donuts. And it appears that just about every Tim Hortons in Ottawa participates. Visit one near you. And as meat is an expensive item these days, when my first order was good, it was time to order another. And I believe this was my best valued order. I received some new items that were new to me. I had never bought Korean beef ribs before, or teriyaki chicken wing strips for that matter. Both, well, quite fresh and quite good. And to round out my investigative deals, stopped again at Metro for a cake surprise bag. Remember, you have no idea of what you're going to receive. It could be one large cake, it could be an assortment of smaller cakes, or dessert items. We got off pretty lucky with this. There was a large chocolate vanilla cake, as well as a smaller carrot cake. Some things I've learned. As you have no idea what you might receive, you have to be able to go with the flow. It might be wise to freeze whatever you cannot eat promptly because of the closeness of the best before dates. It's really great if you're not fussy or particular. Now, we have no allergies here in the household, but might be an issue for some. And being prepared to eat whatever you receive is key to this working for you. Too Good To Go gives you great purchasing power if you have kids at home prowling for food. You know, that teenager that never really gets full, or perhaps he has all his friends hanging in the kitchen looking for food as well. And by receiving new food items, who knows, you might even find your new favorite food. So, Too Good To Go. It's even more thrilling than a trip to the casino without the risk. And every order is a surprise, making it feel like a foodie treasure hunt. Thanks a lot, guys.
Very good, Debbie. That was really good. Couple of questions here. Glenn wants to know, how close to the best before date is the meat before it's frozen?
It varied a little bit. I believe they do it a day or two ahead of time. It was never after the fact.
Yeah, and there was something else here that I get to it. Just hang on 1 second.
Yeah, there's one from France. For a place like Metro, is there an option to say no beef or something like that?
I'm not 100% sure. They did have a little thing about allergies saying you could mention it, but I sort of got the impression it is what it was, but you can certainly try. And I also found when looking at the map and setting areas, if I set the area to, say, a most more densely populated, like downtown Ottawa, there were a lot more restaurants and places that were offering. Here out in Stittsville, not as many, which is why I concentrated on Metro and Timmy's. And Mavericks was really good. They freeze their donuts so they don't go stale at all, and they're awesome. But, depending on the area, really depends on what is being offered.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for that, Debbie. That was really good.
Thank you.
Okay, so next up we have Maple Scan. Eldon is going to talk to us about this app, which is a barcode scanning app. It's a scanning app anyway. So, Eldon, you too have slide control, so you should be able to change the slides from your end.
You have to unmute yourself.
No, he's still not unmuted. We can't unmute him, right, Chris?
I sent a request that he unmute himself, but Eldon, you're still muted. You should have a prompt on screen to unmute.
Trying to.
There we go.
There we go. Sorry about that. So, like I said, the first thing is there's a little disclaimer about this presentation. Notice the shirt. We're all under a little bit of pressure to identify as Canadians and what it means to be buying Canadian. So if you'll bear with me for a moment, second thing I want to make sure everybody knows is that Bob Harris was an amazing resource. I can't say it enough. He was a true professional in helping me. Helen, are you going to be advancing the slides or will I?
I can if you want. Sure.
Okay. Why don't you do that? So the first thing about what this little app does is it does not read barcodes. It does not read Q codes. It simply points your camera at a product, and the camera will go to the product's website. It will go to other sources on the internet and determine whether or not this product is either made, produced, sold, or marketed, or whatever, in Canada. Go ahead, Alan. So the label confusion with money things is that product of Canada versus made in Canada and the misleading maple leaf products. Foreign owners are using this little maple leaf, sticking it on their can, thinking that they're going to fool you, thinking it's a Canadian product, but it isn't always so. Next. So I noticed this first thing was my carrot conundrum. I was in Fresco a couple of weeks ago. There was a display of carrots, and on the sign it said, product of USA. I pick up the bag, and the bag is labeled grown in Canada and product in Canada. So I asked, is it a Canadian or is it American? And the answer was, it's grown in Canada, shipped to the USA, bagged in the USA in Canadian bags and shipped back. Yes, it is a Canadian product. And yes, most of it has to do with Canada. The packaging alone was in America. Next. So this little AI-powered app, it's called Maple Scan, and it will do its best to identify a true Canadian product. And each and every time you go there, there is a disclaimer on it saying, by all means, we'll do the best, but check the label on the bag. So there we go. Next. Simply take a photo of any product, then instantly learn its Canadian connection. Next. Beyond the barcodes, again, you don't have to have the barcode. It works with packaging already opened. And if you don't have the package, it will recognize the product if you take a picture of the product itself. Next. So here's Bob's beautiful little beaver he got. And he's carrying around a Maple Scan phone in his Canadian shopping cart, and he comes along to Smucker's strawberry jam. Next. The same thing applies for the Del Monte. Some Del Monte pineapple slices and chunks comes from different countries, but Maple Scan will tell you right away. It tells you where it comes from. We don't grow pineapples here, so it's nice to know if your product is coming from China, from Hawaii, from Greece, or wherever. Next slide. Not all Canadian labels are the same. So if it is a product of Canada, 98% of the production costs must be Canadian. Made in Canada, substantially transformed here, means some ingredients may be foreign. Next slide. Then there's prepared in Canada, which means the product has been processed or assembled here, but the ingredients may be imported. And then there's packaged in Canada, which means it's imported usually in bulk and just packaged locally or in Canada. And then the best one of all, of course, is grown in Canada. There's no doubt that where that product comes from. Next slide. Is this Canadian? Heinz ketchup. Go ahead, please. Next slide. Heinz ketchup. It's made in Canada. Yes, in Mount Royal, Quebec. It uses Canadian ingredients. Yes, Ontario-grown tomatoes. Is Heinz owned in Canada? Nope. It's a U.S. company. But the product you're buying is grown in Canada, packaged by Canadians, and the mother company is an American company. Next slide. True North, strong and ketchupy. This is Bob's word, and I loved it. The True North, strong and ketchupy. Instead of Heinz, why not go full Canadian and choose French's tomato ketchup, President's Choice ketchup, Compliments ketchup, Kettleman's ketchup, and Fulton's ketchup. This is one of the advantages, our hidden advantages of this app. This app will always give you, if there is, alternative true Canadian products made and produced in Canada or close to it. Go ahead. So beyond the groceries, MapleScan can also work for things like clothing and furniture, electronics, outdoor gear, household items, tools, and much more. For example, Bob took a picture of his office chair, and there was no labels on it or anything, but it was able to identify where the chair came from. It doesn't have to have a barcode or a Q code. Next slide. As you use MapleScan, you will quickly build a trusted product inventory. And as you have the chance to use it, you'll remember in your own mind. But if you happen to forget, you can go back and look, and there is an inventory of what you have scanned in the past. Next slide, please. MapleScan. It leverages AI technology for high accuracy. It's constantly improving to deliver reliable results. Next slide, please. So the benefit for you is that you have your choice. You can support Canadian businesses. You can make informed choices. You can help strengthen our economy and hopefully feel better about it. Next slide, please. There's the app stores. You can get it on the Apple app, or you can get it on Google Play. I personally got it from the maplescan.ca website, and I thought that was the best place because I had trouble finding it on Google Play. My caveat here is don't rely solely on the software. Use it as a helpful guide. Always check the label and make your own best choices. Two things to think about here. The scan was made by a gentleman who lives in Alberta, and there's his address. The shop, an alternative is the Shop Canadian app, and that's also made by someone in, I believe it's Edmonton. Next slide, please. Check the label. There's a app called Check the Label. Don't know where that app was made, but I believe it's Canada somewhere. And then Made In versus Product of Canada. A Competition Bureau article right there gives you all the definitions of product of, made of, anything. It's a It's a really good article. It's a little long, but you can skip through to the part that you want to understand the difference between the different labels having to do with Canada. I think that's the end of it. Thank you.
That's one that says
something.
And thank you, Eldon. That was very good.
Thank you.
I had to turn my chat off there, so I don't know if there's anything significant in the chat.
No, there are a couple of comments, but nothing. There was another scannuck.ca app, and some Stu noticed that in Giant Tiger, every store brand product had a maple leaf tag on the shelf. Very few other products had the tag. So just a few other comments in there. Just a reminder that the chat is available to all, and there are some comments that we are not bringing forward. So scan the chat now, or you can download it later on from our website.
Okay, all right. So thanks, Eldon, and thanks, Chris, for the roundup there. So next up, we have an app called Pocket, and Jose is going to share his screen and tell us about how he uses this app to obtain web content.
Okay, can you see my screen? Can you hear me?
Yes, on both.
Okay. So Pocket. Pocket is used to save articles from the web, newspapers, magazines, whatever. Also, they say it can be used for videos and links from across the web. I haven't used it for that. I only have used it to save articles from newspapers and magazines. My wife has used it for saving recipes in Instagram. So if you have several devices, since you sign up with your email, you can share the same content in your devices. And what I like about it is that I can read the articles offline when I'm not connected to the internet. So they are saved in my device. To install the device, you go to this place, the getpocket.com. You sign up and you can get it from Google Play or the App Store. For Windows, there is no app, but I believe there is a Pocket extension that can be installed on a browser. I never use that, but if you want, you can try that. Now, to save an article, I know three ways. The Pocket people, they send emails with the best articles that they have seen or they have been saved and so on. So these emails, I suppose, yeah, you can unsubscribe if you don't want to see them. But next to the article, there is an icon that you can save the article in your own device. So that's one way. The other way is that you are reading an article, and you can share the article by using share, and then you select the Pocket app. Automatically puts the article in your Pocket app. And the third way is that you copy the link to the article. If you are, I'll show you an example of that in the next page. Then you open the Pocket app and save it there. So this is an example from the National Post. I am looking at the page of the National Post online a few days ago, and I was intrigued by this article that says, Trudeau says he won't be a caretaker PM, blah, blah, blah. So I select it. I don't click on it because that would open the article. I just select it, and that opens up a menu, which is shown here on the right. And there are several options. I can open it in a new tab. I can open in background, or copy link address, or share the link. Well, I'll copy the link address because I just want to put it on the Pocket. So once I have the link address copied, I go to the next, and this is this one here is my Pocket with several articles that I have saved. And automatically, when I have a link in the clipboard, it prompts me to save the copied URL. So since that's what I want to do, I click on save, and automatically it goes to the top here in bold because it's not read yet. And then here, when you save these articles, you have several options. You can click the star to put it on favorites. You can share it further with other people. And then the three dots, sorry, I don't have here the menu for that, but you can delete the article or you can archive it. I don't know what archiving does to it. I never use that. But often when I am finished with an article, I would go there and just delete it. So after the article is saved, even if you are not online, you can open and then you can read the article. So that's the article that was on the the National Post. This is from the National Post. And then you can read it and you can scroll down. And next doesn't refer to the next page. Next refers to the next article. So if I click on that, I would go to the next article and so on. So the nice thing about this that you copy the link and you save it here is that even if the magazine that you want to read or the article, the magazine article or the newspaper article you want to read, you need a subscription. Pocket is fast and it captures the article even before it detects that you need a subscription. So that's a way around to get some articles that you wouldn't be able to read unless you have a subscription. So that's all what I know about Pocket. I use it just mainly to save articles and so on. But if you want to study it further and make more use of it, I asked Perplexity for, hey, are there any tutorials on Pocket? And they gave me quite a list. So I put the links here that you can pursue and learn more about this app. That's all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Jose. And Natalie, I think it's Natalie here, confirms that there is a Pocket extension for Firefox, and she has that as a browser toolbar that she can use. So there clearly are extensions for browsers. Okay, that's very good. Thank you very much indeed. And the final item on the agenda, I put it down as a bonus item because, for one thing, I wasn't sure we were going to have time for it, but clearly we do. And the other thing is, it's not actually an app, but it is probably essential if you want to use a smartphone. So, Joss, I believe you're going to share your screen and run the slide presentation from your machine. Wherever he is. There he is. You have to unmute yourself too, Joss.
Sorry about that, Josh. You are now a co-host, and you can unmute yourself.
All right. Can people hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right. You see my slide?
Yes, we
It says it started sharing. We haven't seen a slide yet.
Let me know when it's there.
Not yet. Oh, there it is. Okay.
Okay. I guess I have a slow connection here. Sorry. Okay, I just want to talk a little bit about if you don't want to have a full-blown cell phone but just want basic information, there is a company that called from 7-Eleven that offers cell phone as pay-as-you-go. So it's useful if you want for emergency purpose and for just getting registration code from a website and things like that. So let me just turn off my videos just to make sure that, I cannot. Anyway, so basically you get that plan that's talks and text. So you don't have to, you don't get the internet as, itself, but you can use it to use phone. And if you don't use it, you don't pay. So you can leave it in your car, for example, and just use it on emergency purpose. Or if you get codes from a website that require a code, you can use that for that. So all, so basically, if you want to make a phone call, it's 35 cents per minute. Coming messages are free. And if you need to do a 411 call, it's 350 and things like that. So there is no fee if you don't use it, except for the $1.25 per month that is mandated for services like 911. Now, just be careful. They have different plans. There are some that has a monthly fees, but if you just want to have data and phone, just make sure you select that plan. Even though you cannot connect on the internet anywhere, you can use it. You can use any Wi-Fi connection. So from there, you can use any apps, any connect to any internet sites. Also, in order to use it, you need to get a SIM card, which is the offer for $10. And if you don't have a phone at all, you can get also a cheap phone for $115. Or if somebody no longer need their cell phone, they want to switch a new one, and you can use their old cell phone and just move the SIM card into that cell phone. So that's it.
Okay,
if you have any question and answer, let me know.
Yeah, Tom is saying that if you just want a phone to use at home or away on Wi-Fi, any old phone will do, as kind of as you said. Now, he says it's useful for authenticator, like two-factor authentication for banking apps, for example. Music and podcast playing, TV control, and you can also use Fongo, which is a free app to create a different phone number. And Elizabeth says SpeakOut is great. She uses it, and her sister does likewise on an old BlackBerry. And Jess says he has 7-Eleven SpeakOut phone in the car as a backup, and he says that we opt for the $25 annual fee.
Yeah, the thing it work, the 25 is every year, and when the year expires, you can buy another $25, and whatever part that has not been used in the previous year is transferred to the new year, as long you do it before it expires.
Okay, I think that's everything in the chat that I noticed.
It's everything I noticed, yep.
Oh, there's one just popped up. Glenn wants to know, do you get a phone number with the talk and text plan to receive incoming calls?
Yes, you do get a phone number. So what you do is when you buy the SIM card, you get the phone number with it.
Okay, so are there any other questions on all the things that we've heard about tonight? I think we've covered everything in the chat, Chris.
Yes, I think we did cover everything in the chat. If we didn't cover something, if we both missed it, by all means, what I can do now is I can't unmute everybody, but what I can do is mute all, and I can give you the ability to unmute yourself, so that's the case right now. So if anybody has anything that we missed or something new that you want to bring forward, you can either put it into the chat or you can unmute yourself now.
And while people are thinking about that, I'll just note that there's a lot of kudos type messages in the chat already. And so I really want to thank the people who gave the presentations tonight: Bob and Linda, Harvey, Carol, Debbie, Eldon, Jose, and Jocelyn. Thank you very much for stepping up. It was great presentations, and everybody's really enjoyed it, as you will see when you read the chat window.
We did have a new question in the chat from Steve. Can you use Fongo without a SIM card?
Yes, you can, but you do need a Wi-Fi access if you don't have a plan. Like, you can use Fongo, a Fongo number and your own number on the phone, but you don't need your own number. So long as you have Wi-Fi access, you can use Fongo to make calls in Canada for free. I use it for long distance because my plan with Chatter does not allow me to phone outside of Ontario and sometimes Gatineau.
Fongo can actually be used on any Android device, a tablet, a Kobo reader. So it will act as a phone on any device as well.
Chromecast too, I suppose. So no SIM card is needed.
No, I can confirm that I use Fongo all the time on my device and only has Wi-Fi. So I go to Europe sometimes and I make calls for free to Canada. You can call from anywhere in the world to Canada for free.
You can receive calls.
Receive
incoming calls as well.
Yeah. But if you are outside Canada, it may not be free for, well, if people that call you are outside Canada, it may not be free for them.
How do you do that without a SIM card?
It uses voice over internet protocol.
So are you dialing a number to dial into a system? Like 1-888?
No, it's a regular, Fongo gives you a regular phone number. For example, area code 613, 366-4665 would be a legitimate valid number, and you can make calls on it and receive calls on it. I say it's far superior to WhatsApp for that very reason, because you can call any PTSN, public, any regular, it's a regular telephone number. Mm-hmm. So when you're, like, for example, if you travel, let's say you're in Sweden and it's an Ottawa number, your next door neighbor in Ottawa could call that number and it would ring overseas. We used it all the time when Nancy's parents used to travel to Arizona. It's a really good app.
Yeah, and another advantage is that if you are traveling outside Canada and you have to call your bank or the credit card to cancel it for any reason, and you have an 800 number, normally 800 numbers cannot be reached through the public telephone network from outside Canada. But with Fongo, you can.
Yeah, the way it works is that you communicate by the internet to the Fongo company, and the company actually has connections to the regular landlines and phone lines. And so it gets transferred to that. So the call goes through them and then to the regular phone network.
So it's not like WhatsApp where you have to call somebody who's has WhatsApp as well. You can call anybody.
That's correct.
With a phone number.
With a phone number. And mm-hmm. Fongo is actually a company out of Kitchener-Waterloo, a company called Fibernetics. They also have the company called, their sister company is Worldline. And Worldline is also a reseller of, they're an internet service provider. They're quite a good internet service provider. They offer DSL and cable internet services. I have both with them for our place in the country and the place in Ottawa, one being DSL, one being they also have long-distance plans. So if you had a regular Bell number or you didn't have long-distance, you could get long-distance through Worldline or through 395.ca. I believe they also still offer dial-up services for $2.95 a month through 295.ca, which I actually used for years in the 90s. Everybody else was $40, $50 a month. They were $2.95 a month. Pretty amazing little company, actually.
Fongo also has plans where you can pay to phone, and it's fairly cheap, I think, to call to India and other places that people might want to call out to from Canada or using the Wi-Fi from anywhere.
So if you've got an old phone, you can just use its web browser to go to Fongo, and then you can get a number, can you?
Yes. You could actually use the Google App Store and just download the Fongo app from the Google App Store. It will assign you a number automatically. And, it's a wonderful program. You can use it as I know Android 5. It still works on Android 5.
Wow, so that old phone, not just a camera or a clock anymore.
the old Samsung Tab 3s, the old 8-inch Tab 3s, which aren't even a phone. They're just a tablet. You can easily turn that into a phone that you use for traveling. Yeah.
Is there any limit on the version of Android?
I know it works on as old as Android 5, and my latest phone is an Android 14, so it should work on everything between 5 and 14.
Yeah, I think the one I've got is up to 6, and that's about it, which is why I went to a different phone.
Yeah, it should work fine.
Good. Natalie says, Jeff, that they also have a home phone option for $4.95 that comes with unlimited Canada-US long-distance calling.
Yes, that's correct. Their Fongo's home phone option, if you sign up for that, they will actually send you an ATA, an analog telephone adapter, pre-programmed that you plug into your router, and you plug a regular phone into that, and for $4.95 a month, you will have a VoIP telephone. I'm not sure if they still have a charge for their analog telephone adapters. Their former sister company, Free Phone Line, you used to just be able to buy your own ATA, program it, and there was $0 per month for the telephone. I still use that service, but I pay $2.20, which is the 911 charge. I've been using VoIP since 2003 for my home phone. That's all I use, $2 a month.
Tom says Fongo requires use every 2 weeks, so he suggests calling a 613 number here for the time.
I think it's more than that.
It's about every month or month and a half. They'll send you an email notification saying you haven't used it in a while. You may want to make a call, but they generally send an email note to remind you. And even if it did expire, the Fongo app, you can just get another a different number. They'll regenerate a different number. You just sign up again.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks very much, everyone. I'm going to wrap it up now. So as you know, we have a deal with the library where we give various presentations. And some of the ones coming up, Linda's going to be doing some armchair travel in Ireland and Scotland a couple of times in the next few days, Alaska on the 20th, and Chris is doing Protecting Your PC in Cumberland out in the East End here on March 22nd. Now, I remind you, if you want to go to any of those, you need to register through the library, so use that link and find the presentation you're interested in and sign up. And for PC User Group members, remember we have our one-on-one remote assistance program. So if you have a problem where you need help rather than just asking a question at Q&A, for example, or in the user forum. And if you need kind of one-on-one assistance, then send us an email and tell us what you need, and we'll try our best to help. And that's one of the benefits of membership in the club. And I remind you that if you are already a member, don't send us any money, because the board has extended memberships for an additional year, and we will not be charging renewal fees, but you will not be, and so he won't be receiving a renewal notice. So don't send us money because you think your membership's expiring. It really isn't. You're good for at least another year, and monitor this space. If you're not a member, and as Chris said at the very outset, we do have a special offer. It's only good now for another couple of weeks, I guess. If you join for $20, which is the annual fee, the normal annual fee, before March 31st, we'll actually give you 2 years of membership rather than one. That's an offer not to be missed, but only for two more weeks. And our next meeting will be next Wednesday, 7:30 as usual. It'll be a Q&A session, so Wednesday, March the 19th. If you've been fascinated by the topics tonight and you think that you'd like to share your favorite app or favorite computer-related topic, then send us some information. And if you have a question that we haven't answered already, or a question that we have answered but you want to know the answer again, then send us your questions to suggestionbox@opcug.ca. And thanks again to everybody who participated in the meeting tonight, both those people who presented and all you people who attended and listened so attentively. So thanks very much, and we'll see you all next Wednesday.
Thanks, folks. See you at Q&A.